All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is Chamber of Commerce weather again here. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We have so much going on, we have nothing to talk about. We have Astros coming off a win. We have Rockets coming off a series-clinching win. We have the NFL draft tonight. Lots. And Barry, Raheel and Dell said all we're going to talk about in the first segment is Bill Cosby being convicted. So the stage is yours. I mean, as always, take us where we need to go.
What's there to talk about? I mean,
nothing, right? There's nothing going on.
If you didn't think he was not going to, if you didn't think he was not going to get convicted, you weren't paying attention.
Now, at 80 years old, you can't see. It's just going to be like some, country club with bars on it? I mean, what's the sentence?
I mean, I think he was up on some pretty serious charges. I don't think he's going to be going to a minimum security correctional facility.
But I'm just saying, based on the fact that he's over 80, he can't see, he's deteriorating health, I don't think they're going to put him in like a max security.
They'll put him in, they're going to put him wherever it's appropriate based on the number of lives he's ruined.
I'm not denying he has ruined way too many lives. There's no question about that. But I'm just saying, based on the fact that the situation is so far from when it actually would have meant a lot to put him in a situation where he got what he deserved, I'll be interested to see what the penalty phase goes through, because I just think dude's on his last leg anyway.
Yeah. He's 80? I didn't realize he was 80.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
He's, honestly, I wasn't paying attention to the case, but I did think there was a slight chance that he would kind of get off, or it may not be as bad as we all think it was. And remember, in 2004, he was on trial for something like this, and I think it was still within the statute of limitations, and he got away with it. So
let's be clear. He got off several times. But yeah, that was back in the day when he was doing all this stuff. I'm just saying.
See, well, 04, I mean, 04 was only, 14 years ago? So he was still doing that? Because apparently he was doing this since he was, in his, late 40s and 50s. So this is over the course of, 30, 40 years, which is just insane.
I mean, it's weird how people, I don't know that they soften it in their mind because it's Bill Cosby and he was the All-American dad and the clean comic and he was funny and... But the dude drugged women.
Yeah.
And then had sex with them. I mean, that is... That's horrible. That's
awful. But yeah, Barry,
it's
more pertinent for you because of what you do. I mean, how much did it change? Because I know that from a comedic standpoint, you had pedestals, but you had him at a certain level. I mean, how much does that change everything that you've ever thought about the guy when all this stuff started coming out?
Well, it's certainly not something where I'm proud to tell people the fact that Bill Cosby made me want to be a comedian when I was 8 years old and I saw his first special. Well, the first special that I saw was called Himself, and I memorized it and I did it in the living room for anybody that would come over and I would get the laughs and it made me feel good and I wanted that and I wanted to be a comic. So, but I was eight, you know, if a kid now is like, oh, I want to be just like Bill Cosby, it's like, whoa, that's kind of weird. But no, it would be like associating every football player with Aaron Hernandez and just saying, well, does that make you not want to play football now that Aaron Hernandez, killed somebody?
Yeah, I didn't mean it like that. You didn't want to do comedy anymore, but it's just like it's just like anybody. When it's like people that idolize Tiger Woods, and then all of a sudden with everything that happened, do you change does it make you feel bad that you've idolized this guy all these years thinking he was a certain way and then you find out he was totally different?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge letdown when you put a guy like that on the pedestal or the Mount Rushmore of comedians and you think he's one of the greatest of all time. It's a big letdown. It certainly is. And hell, I went out and had a shirt made with Bill Cosby on it. He's smoking a cigar and it says, Bill Matic. It's a playoff of the Nas album Illmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that made for me and one other comic, and we would wear that shirt all the time, especially to like gigs and open mics and stuff. And then all this came out, and it was like, well, I'm burning that shirt. Can't wear that anymore. You're not just going to walk around with a rapist on the front of your shirt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was, I'm not going out and having shirts made of tons of comedians. I held him in really high regard. So it is disappointing. It is a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my life. So I don't, I'm not devastated by it. You know, it sucks because it's a guy you hold in high regard.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, you can't find a parallel to that, but I just threw Tiger out there as one of them where, you know, all of a sudden, because of what these people have achieved on a certain level of fame and fortune, whether it be in sports or entertainment, that people have this, you know, rose-colored glasses approach to them, like they're heroic and they're, you know, untouchable and they're squeaky clean. And then you start finding out the backstory and you're like, yeah, that's...
It's the family members I kind of feel sorry for, because they're the ones that, you know, the innocent family members that really, you know... They're going to have to pay for his behavior despite them not doing anything like that. So, you know, it's your dad that everybody holds in high regard. You know what I mean? Like, not just them, but like the entire country held Bill Cosby in high regard. So they're going to have to deal with it. Kind of like O.J. Simpson's kids. You know, they probably didn't murder anybody, but they've had to deal with this every day for the past how many years? Since 1994? I mean, that's tough.
Yeah,
it does suck. I don't feel sorry for the family though, because they're still rich. So that money, I tell you what, if my dad was Bill Cosby, I'd be like, well, looks like we're getting to spend dad's money early, because he can't. I mean, put some on his commissary, but
jeez,
sorry, dad.
I just felt so bad for Rudy. Oh, that's right.
That's not his real kid.
Oh, that's right. It's not his real daughter. Theo, yeah, my bad.
You felt bad for Theo and Rudy. And Vanessa.
Yeah, just really. That's the tough part.
Oh, God. That's
their
funny.
Life is so much exposed already just because everything was just on TV. But then they have to deal with this. Oh, man.
Right. By the way, Mark Shell, shout out to him. He said, what up, H-Town? Finally, the best show in town graces us with their awesomeness. That's why we love you, Mark Shell.
Yes, no question about it. We would grace you with more presents if it was given to us. But since it's not, we just do it in the slot that they give us. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. What's going on in the world of Arkansas, Little Rock?
I tell you, I think Waze is playing a trick on me up here.
Okay.
Because I haven't taken the same path to this studio twice since I've been here.
Now, I notice you call them paths. That's what you call the non-asphalt dirt roads?
Yeah, essentially. It's okay. I haven't gotten on a freeway yet. It's every route I've taken has been...
Do they have a freeway?
Yeah, they have two. One goes east and west, and one goes north and south. But there's no, like, you know how in Houston, you can ride the feeder and go under the freeways and then go north or south or east or west on the feeder. There's none of that. Like, you're just taking a road and it happens to go under the freeway. They don't have feeders on the highways here. It's so
really
strange. Yeah, so you're either getting on the highway or getting off, but you're not going to ride next to it. And then people here, I think I'm the only person that has used my horn. And I tell you what, I was passing out honks like government cheese coming to the studio today. I let everybody have it. Just, I was like, I'm from Houston. Here's a honk. I was like, Oprah, you get a honk and you get a honk. These people can't drive.
What are they doing? Driving too slow?
How do they react
to
that?
What's going on?
They freak out. Like, one guy kind of jerked the wheel around like he didn't know what the hell that noise was. Like, no one's ever honked at him before. They're like, it's like living in the country in a decent sized city, but nobody here can drive. Nobody's aggressive driving. They're all very slow. I'm just not used to it. I don't think I would be able to survive here just because I would probably get arrested for
being overly aggressive.
I was going
to say, Nick would be in jail for years if he was driving there.
I mean, drive past people. I don't really start fights.
No, but if they're not cooperating with getting out of your way, it would drive you nuts.
I agreed. Can't argue there.
Okay.
One guy, so we pull up to a light to take a left, and this guy, and there's clearly marked, there's signs and on the road, it's clearly marked that you can go left in the left lane or straight in the middle and turn right on the right. he's in the middle lane and he turns left with us. So I see him doing this. He's kind of in front of me. So I just kind of move up and then block the path and just go about 3 miles an hour through the intersection so he can't turn left. And he just didn't know what to do. He just froze. He just stopped. I was like, see, these guys here, they're rookies. They don't know how to drive around here.
Well, at least, you know, what's the carry law? Because I would assume that there's artillery readily available in that neck of the woods.
I don't know. I haven't seen any like shotguns on the back of truck windows. If that's what you're asking, but I don't. Yeah, I have no idea what they do around here. I just know that they're not very aggressive. Everybody's laid back, and it's kind of a chill town. I mean, there's not much to do, but
there's a lot of hogs.
Oh, yeah,
that doesn't mean it's something to do. Okay, so we're just getting started. Barry, as we mentioned, in Little Rock, Nick and I here in the studio. It is a Thursday before an FEF Friday, and our lines are open. You know how to reach us. You guys are the usual suspects. That's why we named the show what it is. HR&P Listener Line. Call or text that number, 713-780-3776. You can also reach us directly on Twitter, where it's at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick, and at Barry is Funny. So come on aboard. We'll take you up till 4. Then the Blitz will take you home till 7 o'clock. Right now, I want to tell you about a problem that a lot of men have been dealing with around this area, and that's ED. If you've taken the pills and you haven't seen the results, ED is an issue that many men are dealing with, and the friends at Greater Texan Health are here to help. Greater Texan Health is going to meet you in person and put you together with a customized plan that's going to help to end your ED today. Right now, they're offering a free confidential exam and testing. That's free. You come in, you don't pay a cent, and they will absolutely sit you down and confidentially talk to you and test you to make sure that they check out what's going on. All you got to do is call them, set up an appointment. Their state-of-the-art clinic is conveniently located anywhere in Houston because they're at South Main, right over there by NRG Stadium. And if their recommendations don't work, you get a full refund. It's just the way they do business. Call them today. Set up an appointment for your free exam and testing. 713-554-4915. That's 713-554-4915. They also check for low T. And unlike the clinics that actually have to send the results out to get the test out to get results, they do it right there on site. They give you the results within 30 minutes. It's all part of what they do. Check them out online. GreaterTexansHealth.com. GreaterTexansHealth.com. Once a Texan, always a Texan. Greater Texan Health.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Lots of name calling in the first hour of the show. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. It's the way we do business here on The Usual Suspects. As we continue to roll on, Barry's in Little Rock, Arkansas. Nick and I are here in the studio where it's loud and clear when Nick decides to just let us know what he wants us to hear. We appreciate that.
Yeah, somebody called me a dum-dum on the text line.
Like, is literally like dumb-dumb? That? A dum-dum?
Yeah. Tell dum-dum Waze needs to learn your routes, and until then, it defaults to the fastest time to your destination.
Well, you've been called worse by me, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, you just called me a bitch, so...
Both of us, by the way, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Oh, we do.
Short-term memory. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand this text from OU Mike. Has Barry gone to see Sweet Connie yet?
That was one of the many references Mike made to yesterday when we were talking about, I don't know if it was things to do in places in rural areas or something like that, and he was referring... that's the best I can piece it together. I remember vaguely that we were talking about something, and he had heard that somewhere in Little Rock down the street there was something or other, a massage parlor. Oh. Or whatever.
And then there was a text, are you and AJ beefing again? What's going on?
No, not at all. You know what I did hear? I did hear on Twitter that AJ filled in crazy hours today. He filled in with Granato for Lance before Raheel. Okay. And someone had made reference on Twitter. And I said, what are you talking about? And I guess they thought that I was busting AJ for something when we were talking about the fact that they didn't even ask us about these cameras and lights and everything like that. Like,
yeah, that's what it was, because I heard it.
If we want to sit around with our pants off anymore, we can't do that because of the fact that, you know, the cameras are in here. But I don't, I even told AJ and the people on Twitter, I was like, it had nothing to do with AJ. And they're like, yeah, no, we know. And AJ's like, oh, Joel's always giving me hell. And I'm like, because that's fake news. So that's all I know.
You guys fight like sisters, man. That's pretty cool. I like it. It's kind of like, it's entertaining.
Yeah, it is kind of enjoyable to hear.
My favorite part of my day is the transition between our show and the Blitz when you and AJ have to see each other face to face.
It's such a stupid thing for people to think that there's literally that kind of beef there, because there's not.
I mean, y'all hate each other so much that you walk around opposite sides of the... I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to perpetuate the...
You are. You're doing a hell of a job of it, too. And the crazier thing is that our listeners, who we give so much credit to being smart most of the time, all buy in hook, line, and sinker, and then they start like, are you guys really beefing? Are you guys going to throw dukes? Even Granato's like, ooh, I can't wait till the next tomorrow when they cross paths. This could get ugly. Yeah, John, if we were 5 or 10 or 20, but we're not. But, you know, I didn't know they were buddies
really
either.
Don't like each other. I mean, you guys don't like each other, but it doesn't get crazy like everybody wants.
Not yet.
Right? Yeah, not yet.
I love how you just, again, continue to go and perpetuate things.
It's going to be entertaining for us.
I didn't know that they were buddies, by the way. Granato and AJ are buddies.
I didn't expect that. I also heard AJ express regret about filling in. I don't know if he was joking or saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I thought that was funny. I thought that would be a good mix. I haven't got a chance to listen to it. I wanted to, but I ain't waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning. So,
no, hell happen. No. That's what I'm surprised about. AJ got up at 7 in the morning?
And went to the game last night.
He was at the game?
Wow.
Yeah, he even got caught on the big screen. He was on the big screen for a while.
Really?
Oh, how did they fit his whole head on that thing?
Did the screen stop working after that?
No, it was still functional. My favorite part of the big screen, though, was that little kid just dancing all rowdy on the dance cam. That was hilarious.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, Barry, and Nick, I guess Nick tweeted it, too. He showed it to me.
I saw the tweet.
Hilarious.
I saw the tweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, wow, his mom must be real proud of him humping the air like that. That was not
I tweeted it out, and people were like, that's disturbing, and that's I'm like, man, please, dude. He's like 7, dude. Who cares?
Seriously, get over
yourself. Yeah, that's what makes it disturbing, is there's a 7-year-old like grinding on the railing. I was like, oh, all right.
We don't even know if he meant anything sexual by it.
Yeah, he more so was dry humping the air.
He was kind of pointing at his junk.
When you point at your balls and then thrust them in the air violently and fast, I'm pretty sure you're making a sexual innuendo.
It was the funniest thing ever, man.
It was pretty damn funny, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that
His
was so
facial
funny.
Expressions were what really got you, because he was just into it, too.
I tweeted it at the producer, Nick, man. Y'all, telling you, it's hilarious. Yeah. And that was just a portion of it. It was like a 3-second video. This went on for like 15, 20 seconds. It was hilarious.
Wow. You showed me the video, and I was like, oh, my God. And I'm surprised with how prudy the Rockets personnel can be when it gets to that kind of stuff, starting with the guy on top. I'm very surprised he didn't BlackBerry someone immediately and get that off the screen.
Yeah, because usually, like, every once in a while, you'll find like a female dancing and she gets kind of provocative.
Yeah,
she'll twerk or just shake her behind or something like that, and they'll just immediately change the camera angle, which bothers me.
Or when they do the kiss cam and someone decides to do the deep open mouth, that's when you get the abrupt edit right to the elderly couple that kiss on the cheek, right? Yeah.
It's fun.
Barry, you just need a moment, or?
No, I'm just sitting here thinking about how most of those I feel like are always planned. Like there was one a few weeks ago that was like, oh, this Usher, he gets the dance off and it's so great. And then somebody immediately pointed out, yeah, if you'll notice, he doesn't have a name tag. He's not a real Usher. He's a plant. And NBA teams do this all the time. That's one of my biggest pet peeves in sports right now, is the fact that people think that all of this is unplanned. No, it's brilliant marketing by the teams. Stop falling for this.
Yeah,
if
I'm not talking
about... there's a video out there on the internet that involves a sports team with a wild Usher or a wild fan, guess what? It's fake. It's a plant.
No doubt about it. The organization was never prouder than the fact that it went national when our game ops folks scripted the proposal where the chick says no, and basically people are buying the guy beers because he looks so dejected, and she just walks off the floor. And it was all set up, and it was all staged, and it made every website, and everyone was talking about it, and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, you have no idea that that was completely planned, 100% fake, but it got exactly the reaction that they wanted from it.
And then there was one where a guy proposed and she said no.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, none of that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, that was the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Rachel was the girl in our corporate department, and I think it was Matt who also worked in our corporate services department. Rachel was married already, but again, it was all staged for the sake of the reaction that it got, and it worked absolutely 100%.
So Rachel was married.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Rachel was married, and Matt loved it because Matt was a single guy just going along for the, you know, get a little exposure on the big screen. But he loved it more because when he walked off the floor, there were like 10 dudes going, dude, let me buy you a beer. That was rough. And he just went along with it, and he got hammered for free because everybody was buying him booze.
Well, you're burying the lead because Rachel is married, and I'm sure she has friends and family throughout the country that don't know that she's in on this, that see the video and I'm like, and are thinking like, oh. What a whore. Like, she's already married, and she's out there with this guy?
I mean, dude, she didn't have the ring on her. Oh. No one else knew that. I mean, yeah, I mean, she's just...
Well, I'm saying, people knew her.
I think in-game proposals are cheesy anyway.
She's fast.
That's from 1998.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, there's plenty of setups. But the Usher one, fan cam has, you're right, has evolved into Usher cam, dancing Usher cam. That's the newest and latest and greatest. The first one, I think, was in Boston. And then everybody jumped on board and everybody had their version of that. And again, crazily enough, people bite hook, line, and sinker into every one of them thinking they're real.
The dance cam is like that too, where they're like, it's people from the staff? Because I feel like that's real.
Some of them.
Back in the days of the Comets, right, when the entire audience was a little bit more confident and free-willing to do whatever, there was a guy, kind of like if you remember, and this might be past your bedtime, Nick, or way too back in the day for you, but there was a guy named Dancing Barry that was known for showing up at every Laker game in like a white John Travolta suit, and he would dance up and down the aisles during breaks and stuff. And the Comets had a dude that literally same section every night, but he would go up and down the aisle, but he would get pelvic thrusty and he would get groiny and he would do all these things. But the fans just loved it. So the people in the organization decided to use him more and more, and they would put the camera on him a lot. And then he started getting really personal with what his dance moves. And they were like, oh. Okay, we probably have to scale that back and not show him so much anymore. Because at one point they wanted to put him on the court and let him go. And they're like, you better be careful where he goes if you let him go. Because he had no qualms about showing and doing whatever.
I feel like old people and kids should get a pass for being provocative, though. Whatever. Who cares?
I mean, I'll give old people a pass, but not a 7-year-old kid for...
I thought that kid thrusting was awesome. He's my
thrusting
hero.
Thrusting his pelvis in the air like a broke-ass...
So funny.
Dancer. Like,
it was good.
What?
If you haven't seen it,
it was funny.
Check out Nick's Twitter page at the producer Nick because he tweeted it and it was rather amusing and was there. So
couple of texts real quick. Damn, everything is like a reality show. That was from OG Took. It's true, man. Everything is fake now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Barry, is it true that David Gow has to hire security to prevent certain on-air talents from fighting each other?
There
asking
you go.
For a friend.
Fake news.
No. And then someone texted, am I blocked?
Depends on what they've said. You know, if they what have they said? You're the one that you know the ones that we block, right?
Yeah, I know all of them. Yeah.
So did that person say anything offensive?
No, they go straight to the deleted items folder. We don't even see.
Oh, so then they're not blocked. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a draft to get to tonight. Lots of rumors flying around with that, and the draft is in Dallas. In case you didn't know, round one. So the Texans are taking this night off, is tonight from Big D. You've got only one basketball game, Boston and Milwaukee in a game 6, must win for the Bucks. And then we still have plenty to talk about locally here. Astros starting a new series with the A's after beating the Angels and avoiding a sweep yesterday. And, of course, your Rockets putting away the Timberwolves and putting to bed the Timber Pups as they get ready for the winter of OKC in Utah. So fasten your seatbelts. Still plenty more to get to as we continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Yes, I heard that news from the news. Else can't we hanging around? I ain't living on the side. Could you give me a
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collarbone. Is done in vain. Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hello, still first hour of the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel, Usual Suspects. A lot going on as we've kind of settled in. We can talk sports and other things. Wanted to mention to you people with this this draft coming out, whether you have a paid service or not, with ESPN or otherwise, there's a lot of mock drafts out there right now. There's a lot of rumors flying around. Barry, dare I say, there are more mocks right now than a photo album of Fred Fowler public appearances.
Say what?
Put that together, Barry. There are more mocks out there right now than a photo album of Fred Fowler appearances, because we do know in public he likes that black mock turtleneck.
Oh, now I get what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
See, the guys out in the bullpen like that one. I was doing Trey. Yeah. I was testing him on the bullpen before I brought him in here.
That was deep. Wait, Trey's in there with you?
No, Trey's not in there. Trey had AJ's back today, though. Nick found it. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Throw hands. Trey saying he would throw hands was the... That's hilarious.
Just
the last person on this planet that I could see throwing hands is Trey.
I think that's... I mean, people... Like, when he says something like that, I think everybody knows he's not serious. Like, everybody knows.
Oh, it was funny.
Yeah, it was a perfect response.
By the way, are people... Is the stream live? I do want to talk about
I want to know that, too, because the first segment, I did take the gum out of my mouth and put it on the notepad. I hope someone also saw that I connected on a long jump shot with it about mid-segment into the wastebasket, but that's creepy that Adam is basically telling everybody what just happened.
Why do you think they would inform us if it went live?
That's my point. That's the whole thing where everybody thought AJ and I were fighting. My whole point was we never even knew there was going to be cameras installed with suntan lamps. And the next thing you know, we're live before we knew it. And someone could be scratching themselves or not, you know, not wearing pants.
I think the point with you, though, they were talking about approval and you're wanting them to seek approval. That was his shtick.
No one asked for us for approval for anything. Do you think I actually expected approval on anything? No. I'm not AJ. Why would I do that?
Yep.
Anyways, I was just surprised to see that somebody knew you were you took the gum out of your mouth and put it on your notepad. So that means it must be live. But then I pulled it up and there's only one person watching it, and that's me. Like, I'm looking at you right now, Joel. You're pretty hot.
In about 90 seconds, I'll wave to you because I just waved.
Yeah, oh, did you? Okay.
Because of the delay. Yeah. Let me know when I actually wait, when you see it, because I waved about, you know, now it's about 30 seconds, right, Nick? So we'll see how that
Something
goes.
Like that. They got a camera in here for me, too, but I just feel weird switching the camera on myself. So you guys will probably never see me on the live stream.
Yeah, no, you got to switch it. I want to see your stupid face and what it looks like.
No.
And what you're wearing.
I don't match
Did you get your shirt from Joel? Did he give it to you?
Right away. The minute I opened the package. Yeah, I'm going to keep
it already?
Nick's shirt.
I tried it on today, but then I decided not to wear it.
No?
Yeah, it didn't
You're rocking
me
that
right.
Medium? We got to remember, though, Joel, you're not going to be able to pick your nose like you normally do because then we have cameras on us.
Same way you can't scratch your genitals and pick your ass.
Which I'm not judging because I took gum out and put it on my laptop before, so I'm not going
to
judge.
All the pranks are going to be messed up, too. Like, he's not going to be able to tell when we steal his lettuce and who did it and where we put it. That's another problem.
And I keep asking you
just
who controls the audio?
You just waved.
What was that, like 2 minutes ago?
That was like 2.5 minutes. That was like a commercial break ago.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Who controls the audio?
I think they do.
Nobody.
Well, Jesus, because think about this. That's the other thing. We're not exactly PG when we get into a commercial break, especially if things are a little haywire.
I think, though, from what I gathered from Brandon, who's our digital guy, once I go to the black screen, it just cuts off like it's on, like it saves the segment. So as long as I don't forget to go to the black screen.
Barry, you and I are screwed. Yeah.
Or you just got to be super nice to me because I just might accidentally on purpose.
Well, we already know that's not going to happen. So
now Adam is posting video of Joel taking the gum out of his mouth. Oh,
are you serious?
This is wild. This is wild and out of control. Oh my god, that's hilarious. I'm retweeting that. At Barry is funny if you want to see Pac-Man Joel be gross.
Oh, you this do. And you put it right on your little notepad.
I did. Yeah. Now it's not there. I picked it up mid-segment and I threw the trash.
You look confused in the video.
Yeah, you do. I'm so looking forward to this. Oh, sucks. God, that's so funny.
This is stupid.
All right. So the mock draft thing.
Yeah.
I was trying to find some statistics. And here's the thing. I only really look at, like, Lance's stuff. Because I know Lance. I know that he does the work. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like some of these guys that do mock drafts, like Mel Kiper and so forth, I feel like these guys have other people doing the work for them now. And then they just kind of compile it because they're so busy with appearances and everything else. They don't have time to do that. But I see Lance. You know Lance is.
Yes.
We've all seen him putting in the work. He may not be, you know, 100% on his accuracy, but at least, you know, his evaluations of the talent and those are going to be good. I was looking for something that gave me some sort of like statistical analysis
for
of
accuracy?
Mock drafts. And, yeah. And who has been the most accurate in the past. And I really can't find anything. Maybe a listener out there knows or,
well, here's
but
the
I'm
thing.
Just like, who's the most accurate? What's the best source?
Well,
cause I found one from 2017. And it was talking, and it basically showed per pick the accuracy of the picks. And after one, it was all over the map.
One's going to be screwed up for a lot of people if they turn it in before this morning, too, because everybody's now saying Baker Mayfield's going one. But the thing is like when the NBA, when Tim Donaghy was busted and everybody started thinking twice about calls and the accuracy and if it's not fixed in the NBA. Same thing could be said with these mock drafts. When you start hearing that Kiper was on the take and if agents and others were greasing him, that he was going to talk about their players more and elevate them up the boards. The fact that I'm with you on Lance because he's come out and said how much pride he takes in trying to be right in at least getting players in the right rounds, let alone the teams if he can. And he said the first round, you know, is one thing, but in the second round, he really takes pride in that too. That's what I want. I just want to get, you know, some kind of a ballpark with some accuracy as to what rounds guys are going to go in and the projected teams. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of it was tainted for me when I started hearing about the fact that, you know, these prognosticators and mock draft guys were on the take.
All I know is, and I agree with you, but all I know is if Baker Mayfield goes one, oh, my God, you guys are never going to hear the end of it. I'm a genius.
Well, I already gave you credit for it, too.
But still, I'm just going to just ride that wave as long as I can.
You're
going
to take the whole camel riding win to like a new level with this one, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was that far-fetched. I think people just kind of sleep on him. And it's going to be interesting to see. I was looking at, you know, the draft order, and you keep hearing Buffalo's name mentioned. Yeah, Buffalo's going to move up. Buffalo wants a quarterback. If they don't get past Denver, because right now everybody thinks Cleveland, the Jets, and Denver are definitely drafting a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. So most people feel like that Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold are going to be off the board right away, just depending on who you talk
Not
to.
Not if you're Lance Erline.
Oh, what is his? Who does he think? I know he thinks Mayfield may go number one as well.
1 minute ago, he just tweeted out, he's hearing now that Josh Rosen is overtaking Sam Darnold for number three. So if Sam doesn't go two with Denver trading up or the Bills trading up, he could fall to four, and it will be raining draft picks in the Browns' lap once again as they could trade down, as teams desperately trying to get up to get a quarterback are going to get throw more picks at them. And he says, as crazy as it sounds, the Buccaneers are poised to get one of the top three overall players in the draft at pick seven because of the run on quarterbacks.
Yeah, and the Bucs will probably go after a running back, so that just depends on the Giants do. Yeah.
I think Bucs are going to go defense, linebacker or secondary.
Okay. I saw something that said that they were interested in, especially if, because here's something that could happen, right? if the Giants are looking to draft an offensive lineman, for example, as their big need to protect Eli or whatever else, they might be willing to swap with Buffalo and move back, because nobody else really, as a number one need, has offensive line on their board as number one. So they could move back to 12 and still get somebody that they want, whether it's Quentin Nelson or Connor Williams or whatever. So if Buffalo moves up to number two, that makes things really interesting, because you've got the Jets that are going to want a quarterback, and you could have quarterbacks going four out of the first five picks if that happens.
And that's what's great for the Packers picking at 14, 15, that a Minkah Fitzpatrick could slide now, or a Ward, or one of those corners, or guys like that. And it's like, yeah, last night the Packers were talking about trading up. Now they could just sit, stand pat, watch it all happen in front of them, and have someone fall right in their lap.
But the Browns would have the opportunity. If Buffalo moves up to grab a quarterback, the Browns would grab a quarterback at one. Buffalo would grab one at two. The Jets at three. The Browns would be picking again at four and could get their quarterback. And if they wanted to, they could get Saquon Barkley, who might be the best player in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, before they were saying you had to take Barkley one overall to guarantee you get him, and then take whoever's left at quarterback. But now, yeah, they could be in the driver's seat, because a lot of the talk today is centered around the fact the Browns are going to trade four and trade down, because the rush of quarterback demand is going to be so high, they'll still be able to get guys they want later with more picks. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, because they do need help, you know, in the secondary, so there'll be plenty of opportunities for them.
No doubt. So if you guys want to talk the draft, you want to talk other things, we're available, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We'll be back with more. It's Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I just gave the people what they want to see. So, you know, suck it. It was there for you.
I hope that Nick went live with it.
He's very frustrated right now because he wants to know
right now. I'm like, yo,
help. That's what he does. He needs help. So in about 2 minutes, folks, you're going to get what you paid for. It's going to be like fan cam all over again.
Oh, my God. It's on the stream. I really want to give people the... I hope I can back this up, because I'm going to totally record that.
I'm not...
Joe, you are a wild man, dude.
I'm not
hilarious.
Afraid of it. We'll have fun with it. You know, Craig did that during...
Hilarious.
What I really liked, and Matt Bullard was the guy I thought would go along with it. Craig did that, I think, during the regular season. I think they were in Memphis, but there was something going on in an arena, and he just stood up at the scorer's table, and he's doing TV, so he's in a suit, and he started just doing the dance or whatever, and he gets into it.
It was actually
hilarious.
Pretty good. It was funny, yeah.
I liked it. Yeah, so speaking of basketball, so our Rockets passed the first test. They do away with the Timber Pups, and they move on. Thoughts on the game last night, Barry? Did you get a chance to watch it?
I didn't get a chance to watch much of it because I had a show, but I do know that they started slow.
Yeah.
And they still, you know, I mean, it's kind of been the MO in these playoffs, right? A second half hasn't always been up to snuff, but then... Or first half hasn't always been up to snuff, but then in the second half, they kind of put the game away. I think they did what they were supposed to do. They beat a team that was just outmatched and couldn't keep up with them scoring-wise.
Nick, you were there. I mean, my big thing that when we were talking about it, getting ready for the show today, my big thing is they just don't have me as believers yet that they have put it all together and are playing at a level, one, like they were playing in the regular season, as we talked about yesterday. But more importantly, I worry about the inconsistencies, the slow starts, where, you know, the hard and cold spells, the other guys not picking up the slack early. Now, those third quarters are fantastic. And whatever they're doing in the halftime break, and what they're feeding them and what they keep doing it because they come out of the
right.
And this used to be a problem with the Rockets teams, if you guys remember, coming out of the halftime break, third quarters, they would lay an egg and it would dig a big hole for them. I like the way they come out charged up in the third quarter and they make a statement, but at the same time, against better teams as you get farther along in the playoffs, you can't afford to go on the droughts that they've been going on in the first half of games. Everybody's got to be clicking on all cylinders. That was kind of a get-well game last night. They were free-stroking because they had a lead. Gordon got his points up. All the key guys we've been talking about have to contribute did. But when you play a better team, whether it's a defensive team like Utah or you get all the way to the conference finals and play an athletic team like the Warriors, I think you got to have it figured out by then, and they don't have it figured out yet.
And I think that's where the concern is. I think those half quarter, those halves where, you know, you described it as them taking off, I think that's a concern in the event they get to the Western Conference Finals. Now, mm-hmm. I've already been on record saying I think they're going to win it all, and perhaps I'm a homer for saying it, but the fact that they take a one or two quarters off, I think it won't be a problem in round two. I think the problem will arise in round three in the event that they face the Warriors. And that's what they have to prove. That's who they have to prove to beat, because honestly, I'm not really sold on the East at all. I mean, Cleveland barely won that game. Toronto doesn't necessarily, you know, Milwaukee in the event that they go past the Sixers. None of these teams really scare me if they happen to go to the Eastern, if they happen to make it to the finals. It's the Warriors that I'm worried about. But my question to you, Joel, is, the Warriors, they never take one or two quarters off. There's never a dry spell with the Warriors at all.
Thing is, they have more weapons. So to the Rockets' main weapons, which are Paul and Harden, and the rest are supporting cast. And I know you're going to argue with me on Capella because you love him. But overall, when you look at the weapons, you can have a certain guy take a quarter off, but the other guys are picking up the slack. And defensively, they are always kind of on in terms of, you know, pushing the pedal down and doing things defensively, even if the offense has stepped back a little bit. And I think that the bigger point is the fact they have more weaponry that can do it on a consistent basis because they have the all-star kind of go-to guys. Thompson and Green are considered that, as well as Durant, and if they have Curry back. That's the things that stand out that bother me, is that those little slow, either it's a slow start or it's a rut that they hit, and they can't get it going. And Harden, you know, Harden, they rely on him so much that those two games, remember, he started one game 0 for 7. Last night he was 1 for 7. Those are the things that you can do against the Minnesota. I just don't want to see you try and, you know, maintain that in another series when you're playing a far better team.
Yeah. Is there anything good to take away from the fact, though, that they only had like 6 points combined? That is Chris Paul and James Harden in the first half. 6 points.
I think that's great.
And then a reason everybody else picked up, not to mention the fact that they had 5 turnovers for the entire game, and the only reason why they got that 5th turnover is because they ran the shot clock out in the final seconds of the game. So there is some efficiency to be said and a defensive credit, you know, credit on the defense that they deserve. It's just going to be interesting to see how that plays out against the Warriors, Barry.
And I want to take one. I want to disagree with Joel on one thing. He said that the Rockets don't have the weapons to match the Warriors. I disagree. They may not have a top four like the Warriors do when you talk about Draymond, yeah, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and
KD. That's what I'm talking about.
But get past those first four, because I like the first three that the Rockets do have. So if you're going to say their fourth is Eric Gordon. So if you take the Rockets four versus the Warriors four, it's edge Warriors. But get past that and you start talking about P.J. Tucker, Luke Mbamute, Trevor Ariza. These are all guys that are key to this Rockets offense because they can hit the three. I think the Rockets are deeper than the Warriors.
And I don't disagree
with that.
Luke Mbamute comes back. Luke Mbamute comes back, and this is a scary Rockets team for anybody because now they're fully healthy. I tuned in late in the game, saw Ryan Anderson hit a three, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? He made a shot. If he's making shots, oh, look out. I mean, then I think this team is going to be really difficult to deal with if Ryan Anderson can even hit 35 or 40% of his three-point shots.
See, I don't disagree. I think the Rockets are a far deeper team, completely. But I'm saying from a perspective of go-to guys, of guys that you can go to that are an all-star caliber player, that if other guys, like when, because Nick posed the question, it was more about guys taking, or the team taking halves or quarters off. I think it's more scrutinized because if Paul and Harden are off, then it's the whole team. Whereas you have those top shelf talented players, you have multiples more than the Rockets because you have two more guys that you can do that with in Green and Thompson, that you can get away with it more. It's not as noticeable, and the Warriors can kind of bridge the gap between when they flip the switch. The Rockets, it's more difficult because now when those two guys are off, then you really got to hope that your role players are making shots, and the Reezes and the Tuckers and guys like that. And to the Anderson point, it's okay right now, but if Luke comes back, like you guys are saying in that scenario, in my mind, unless I'm missing something, that means Anderson's sitting because, you know, we know D'Antoni doesn't go that deep with his rotations.
Fine with that.
Yeah, so that means that guy making those shots is not playing anymore because you get so much more on the defensive end from Luke.
And Barry, the thing is, Ryan Anderson hitting 35%, he'll hit 35%. It's not the fact that he won't hit that percentage. It's the fact that he won't make enough. He'll go 2 for 7, 3 for 7. That'll get you in that 35, 40% range that he's been for, what, the past 2 or 3 seasons. He's just not making enough three-pointers. He's not shooting. He in terms of a team that loves to shoot three-pointers and are high-volume three-point shooting team, Ryan Anderson is not that guy. He doesn't shoot 10, 15, 20 three-pointers in a game. He just doesn't do it. He'll pass up on wide-open shots all the time. He did it last night.
But here's the bigger thing, too. What else does Ryan Anderson do, Nick? Even if he does what you're saying, making shots, he gives you nothing else. He doesn't stop anybody. He doesn't rebound anybody. He doesn't do all those other things that, like, Luke runs the floor. And Luke, if you know, Luke can make some shots, too. But more importantly, Luke does the intangible things by being athletic, by getting rebounds, blocking shots. Anderson is just one-dimensional to me.
It's true. I mean, his one dimension is shooting, and if he's hesitant to pull the trigger when there's, cause teams are going to leave the guy open, because you could see last night, he was 1 for 2 from 3-point range. The one that he made, he looked so relieved, like, oh my God, thank you for going in. It's like, bro, you have no confidence in your shot. And if I'm, whether it be OKC or the Jazz or the Warriors, I'm leaving Ryan Anderson wide open. You beat me, Ryan Anderson. Everybody else, I'm going to make sure is covered. I'll double James. I'll make sure that everybody else sticks with their man in rotation. But I'll let Ryan Anderson beat me from the three-point line. So he's going to get a lot more shots if that's the case. And if he can knock down 40%, but I'm with you. He's got to take them. He's got to take them.
And here's the thing. Nick, talk to any shooter that's ever played the game and shot a high percentage. They'll tell you confidence is more than half the game. You got to go in confident. Yeah. And then you start talking about the amount of crap that's being talked between the Jazz and the Thunder, whichever team prevails. They are going to be talking to Ryan Anderson. They are going to be challenging Ryan Anderson. And he can't even handle his own brain cells. He's going to start freaking the hell out when people start talking to him and running at him. And then how many shots is he going to make?
And I can't disagree with you at all. I think the confidence comes from several games in the regular season where you're taking 15 three-point shot attempts. He hasn't been doing that. So where is he going to get the confidence from if he hasn't had 5, 6, 7 bad games in the regular season where he shot 15, 20 three-pointers? Now, I don't know if that's a Mike D'Antoni game plan or if it's his intention, but I can tell you what. I've seen him all season long pass up on wide open 3-point shots, and you can see the lack of confidence in his eyes.
Yep. Yeah, no question about it.
Agree.
All right, fellas, 1 hour in the books, 2 hours still to go, so make sure you stay tuned because hour number 2 is on deck, and we will get to it next right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.